The Monday Means Test is the staple of our footy season with David King. Our categories like the big issue, the best bits, the worst bits, the pressure index, the debate, the curiosity, what they got right, what they got wrong, they fuel our season each week. Today we set you up for the grand final through those categories. I know, Kingy, you've played away all weekend with this, so let's delve in, shall we?
So try to balance it out. So try to be 50-50, Melbourne positive, Western Bulldogs positive. So we're not slanted here in any way, but we're just going to pick through these categories and try and just work out what's the avenue to success for either team and what's the best way there or the most effective way there. And I think we start with the unstoppables.
So this is the big issue, the unstoppables.
Yeah, I really think that Max Gawn is something you can't stop. How does Luke Beveridge organise to defeat Max Gawn? Impossible to do because of his... the hit-out purity, his ability to get forward. He's not a contested marker. As much as he looks like a contested marker, he's taken one inside the forward 50 this final series. So let's talk about what his craft actually is, and that's the hit-out stuff. So it's not through weight of numbers. It's not, because Melbourne are minus two clearances on their opponents through the course of the final series. So it's not absolute dominance through volume, but it's dominance through damage. So the ones that they do win, and the aggressive hit to Oliver on the fly and Petrarca on the move, it's only a step. It's only a metre in front of their opponent. But that metre becomes two, becomes four, becomes pure. And then you go forward and score. So they're averaging plus 37 points per game from stoppage in a final series, despite losing the clearances. So that's a huge number. And most of the damage is not really centre bounce. It's more forward half stoppages, so that anywhere centre forward. So forward 50, Max has actually been in for a few over the last few weeks because Jackson's been more than coping in the ruck. So Max is now getting that opportunity to grab the ball out of the ruck. We saw him kick a fantastic goal as one of his five a couple of weeks ago. So Max is something you can't stop. So to put a worth to it, through the home and away series, Max was responsible for starting 13 points a game. So he, whether it's hit out or his ability to win the ball back, he's responsible for 13 points a game. In the last two games, that's gone up to 45 in total. So it's almost doubled, 22 and a half points. So it's almost doubled once the game has become more contested and clearly big games, finals footy, prelim finals. You win your own ball, you ply your trade, and if there's a vulnerability at the opposition, then it's expanded. So that's Max. So that to me would be Luke Beveridge's biggest headache. But at the end of the day, he knows there's nothing I can really do about this except for what they do at ground level, which we'll get to later. But that dominance is something you cannot curtail. From the flip side, who needs to go big for the Dogs to have that unstoppable day that just says, we're home, we're on? And I think it's Aaron Norton. I think if Aaron Norton... he can be the reason they win it in the air. He can just have a 5-6 contested mark type game that can do. I mean, look at this season. He's taken 64 contested marks for the season. Only Harry Mackay's taken more. He took 6 contested marks versus Port Adelaide. So, you know, 4 of them inside the forward 50. They're the ones that you can't stop. So if he can get hold of May, doesn't matter what the next matchup looks like because it's a lesser version of Stephen May.
Yep.
Whether it's Petty or, you know, we saw what he did to Lever a couple of times in the earlier clash in round 19. He couldn't go with him in the air. He's a third man in drift marker. He's not someone who can lock a contested marker down. 2-2 last week. What's he kicked? 6-2 for the final series. Can he be the one that kicks 4 straight in a burst and throw everything? You know, we talk about Mason Cox, that prelim final. This guy can do that. I have full confidence that he can get that done. And it's all off the back of that aerial stuff. So I look at last week. They went to Josh Shackey 13 times last week and only went to Aaron 6 as a prime target. Now, if you can flip that, I think Norton needs to be, he just needs to be the man for every entry. If you've got time to assess where to kick the ball, it has to go to Norton because he's such a dominant force in the air. He is Carey-like in the air. Do you see that?
Yes.
Do you think he can have that game? If you're a Dogs fan, can you visualise Norton having that sort of game? Because if he does, in my opinion, it'll be over because contested marks inside forward 50 are scores.
You could see him flying at packs and hauling down marks. Absolutely, you could. I can see that.
He's taken 34 contested marks in the forward 50 for the season. And as I said, four last week. What's the benchmark? What's the over-under? I don't like getting the over. You're not a good...
So in a grand final, you'd settle for a couple.
Yeah.
But if you can make 2-4 or if you can make 4-6, that's your separation.
Yeah, and cause chaos down back.
Yep.
That's probably the spin-off effect. You get rattled quick in finals. If you can't lay a glove on Norton... Yeah, even that first final at Port Adelaide there, you know, the Dogs' first 15 minutes, it shook the foundations of everything the Port were about. They actually lost their way. That's what I'm talking about. Can he do that? And I think, you know, there's no logical reason why he can't. He's in great form, but they just need to go to him more. They've got to trust their own star. So I know that sounds a little bit convoluted, but I do think that Norton can be the reason that this game's separate, and it might just be in a burst.
The unstoppables as the big issue. Max Gawn, Aaron Norton, the best bits. The legacy piece that's stitched into every grand final is tangible here.
Yeah. Where do you sit? I mean, is it Max or Marcus? It's as simple as that for me, you know. The lovable ruckman, the flawed genius, you know, schooled by Melbourne's great icon in Jimmy Steins, you know, showing the way, he wears his number. You know, he plays with the same sort of creativity, you know, that Jimmy played with. You know, there's a little bit different about Max. He gets around the ground, but it's more the person, you know. He will be the face of breaking this 57-year drought. There's no doubt about it. Simon Goodwin's done an unbelievable job, and it's a full club thing to win a premiership. And Oliver's probably their best player this season, and Petrarca's right behind him. They've got a core of great players, but Max will be the man.
Yeah, there's no one else whose beard was coming with the paper on Saturday, is there?
And what about Marcus Bontempelli? I mean, would this, if they could win the flag this year, he will end his career as the greatest dog of all time. I mean, you can talk about best and fairest winners and those sorts of things, but winning best and fairest in teams that are finishing down the table or just short of the mark, as opposed to, in my opinion, he should have won the Norm Smith in 2016. He's already a three-time best and fairest winner. This year, he'll get it again, make it four. He's got all the stamps, but to get two premierships at this stage of his days would be unbelievable. He's been voted by his peers as the 2021 best player. So there's none better, really. So I think when you're talking about separating factors in careers, you know, we always talk about comparing Rusciutto and Buckley and Voss and Hurd and these guys. I think Bontempelli, if he can tick this, if he can get this one done, if they can win another premiership, he will go past a whole host of names that are automatic Hall of Fame inclusions.
Yep.
Post his career, and particularly if he can stamp it again and be top two in the Norm Smith again.
So there's that incredible fact which it sort of came back into the consciousness last week, is that only Ted Whitten has been to two grand finals as a Footscray player, as a Bulldog.
Yeah.
He was the only one in the 6 or 7 year gap. So there's a dozen who are about to create history. And if Bontempelli does stand there lifting the cup, so he'll be behind EJ. But with the second half of his career to continue to build on that legacy.
Yeah, and I can't compare EJ or even have that conversation because there's better skilled people than I to do that. But, I mean, he does go, I mean, if he's not on par with him, he is challenging him if he could get the two, Jared.
Yep. So, and Max has got the dusty touch of last year. Like, everyone was in on the idea of Dusty winning the third Norm Smith last year. So he was the most accessible part of what was going to take place, I think. The retiring Gary Ablett or the quest for three, that thirst that we would all see history, is Max has got that ringmaster quality to it. If you want to find a way in, the way in is through Max.
Yeah. I just feel like that character that Max is the reason why you have the environment you have. You know, we don't talk enough about the environment of a footy club. You know, being able to be yourself, but not having to be perfect. You know, to have some warts or flaws, and been able to go to your captain. I always say this. I ran into the great man Wayne Carey this morning walking in here. And you just think, okay, there's something about being able to go to a captain that you know has your best interest at heart every time you talk to him, and he's happy to have a beer with you, or he's happy to have a coffee with you and be a bit different, go for a walk. Max is his own man. No one tells Max how to be. And Max doesn't tell anyone else how to be. He allows growth in every player. And look at, you know, young Bowie's come into this team, and he's been fantastic. He's played about six games. And I just feel like that's what you get. When you get an environment that allows everyone to be their best, you allow youngsters to just come in and do their bit. Salem now doesn't need to be best on ground. Oliver and Petrarca having a ball. Just having a great time. Even last night, you know, on their phones, having a laugh. You know, Ollie's getting caught with some bread in his mouth. You know, they're just being them. They're not trying to be someone. They're not trying to be perfect and look great on TV. They're just being themselves. So this is as a result of what your captain sets up for your football club. So I sort of hope, in a weird way, I sort of hope it's Max, because Melbourne need Max. They need Max to, you know, to crown the, you know, himself Sir Max, really, and just be the answer for this football club that's been craving this flag for so long.
Legacy, the best bits in the 2021 grand final. What have you got as the worst bits? This is, I can feel this coming from bitter experience.
The worst bits, look, I think there's going to be opportunity. There's going to be opportunity for someone early in game. And I sort of go back to inaccuracy, and inaccuracy costs flags. So you get a certain amount of opportunities in footy to hit the scoreboard. You've got to take them. You know, I look back at history shows us. Fremantle, 2013, halftime, 1-6. St Kilda, 2010, at halftime, 1-8. Geelong, 2008, 6-12. You know, in 05, when Sydney ended up, beat the West Coast, it was 6-3 to 2-7 at halftime. That was a 4-point game, you know. So, like, you just, 4-point result, I should say, not a 4-point game. They're not a 4-point game, 4-point result. So, you know, it does come back to your own. You know, the Kangaroos, 1998, you know, 21 shots to 7 at halftime, and you only lead by 4. Like, so someone's going to have that chance. So, I'm just having a look at some of the goal scorers or those that have had their opportunities in front of goals for these two teams. You know, Hannon's going at 50-50. Shacky, just worse than 50-50. Treloar, he's kicked 1-3 and 2 complete misses. Bont's 2-3 and 1 complete miss. So you're going to get opportunity. You've got to know. There's a big difference when Bont steps through, breaks through 50 and drives it home as opposed to missing the lot. Hawkins' miss last week was big. Because it shifts it rattles the group. So being able to kick them. You know, Bailey Smith, this is why we've talked about Bailey for a while. He's 8 straight. 8 shots, 8 through the final series. Yep. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, when he's doing the ice through the veins, because he's spot on. So Ben Brown, 3-3 and a miss. Petrarca, 3-4. Now, Petrarca's had his issues. So just, you know, there's people you talk to in footy, and they talk about those small forwards, you know, the Saints small forwards in that I can't remember whether it was 09 or 2010, but, you know, they had the game at their mercy. Where that first quarter, I don't know what they kicked, but they had 4 or 5 opportunities to just gap the game. So for me, the big concern is the start. You know, last week the Dogs, 7-2 at quarter time. Melbourne, 5-3 at quarter time. So those games, you know, you're not shutting the door, but gee, it's a big start. You're challenging the opposition to change their game. So for me, I'll be, you know, the worst bits for me is that probably I'm hoping that we don't put another name to this, you know, have a person responsible, because you want the team to fail, not one sole carrier of the blame. So kick your goals. Kick your goals, convert your opportunities, light the fire, gap the scoreboard, and hopefully one of the stars doesn't fail.
So what's your tagline for that, the worst bits?
You can't get a tattoo at halftime, Jared. No half tattoos. You got to get the job done. So that's the concern for me. You know, get the job done, seize your moment.
The Monday Means Test Comprehensive Grand Final Preview with David King. We are working through our categories. We're at the pressure index. Kingy?
The heat is on those small defenders, Jared, the general defenders that we call them. Because when you look at history, It's those mid-sized small forwards, you know, that hybrid forward, that goal-kicking small that can rear up and catch the ball or put a tackle on against the odds that win Norm Smiths. So I had a look back. Since 1990, the change to the AFL competition, only two of the last 30 Norm Smith medalists are 190 centimetres or above. The talls disappear, Jared. I don't know what happens to them. Scotty Pendlebury in 2010 and Brian Lake in 2013. They're the only two that are north of 189, so 190 plus. So I don't think we've had a centre-half forward win one in the modern era. Have we had a full forward win one? I don't know if we have.
No, so Ablett was 89.
He was
so
the end.
Talking from 90 onwards.
Yeah, so this... So for me, it's the really damaging midfielder or that mid-forward player that can kick goals. And I'm probably staying forward to centre because I do think the way that these forward lines are set up, it's not necessary to catch and kill. It's to create contest, bring ball to ground. So if you're going to defeat Lever and these sort of guys, you've got to get the ball to ground. If you're going to defeat Norton, you've got to get the ball to ground. So have a look at Cozzy Pickett. So he's kicked 40 goals for the season. 3 goals and 2-1 in the last two finals. He hasn't had that much ball delivered inside 50. He's only kicked the ball, I think, 4 times inside the forward 50 through the finals, which is low, isn't it? For a player of his skill, and he was awesome in that first quarter last week with his the quality of his delivery inside 50. So how do you get that? How do you get that to 6 or 7 occasions in this one game? Who knows? But if he's on, he just creates scores. So he's a matchup disaster. So I don't know who gets him. I don't know who wants him. I wouldn't be putting my hand up for Cozzy Pickett. I know that much. Cody Waitman's the other at the other end. You know, he's only played 18 games. This guy, 26 goals for the season. Only held goalless once this year. I think that's really important when you're looking at young players. You know, they can go in runs of kicking goals, and then runs of absence. But he doesn't seem to have that. He just has so much energy for the game. When you look at score involvement players, you know, inside that forward 50, so this is where they apply their traits. There's no point comparing him to score involvement across the team because he can't compete with the midfielders through the stuff we spoke about earlier with the glut of possession. But only Norton and Josh Bruce, have averaged more forward 50 score involvements than Cody Waitman. So the ball inside 50, he is in the game. So he's another one for me that's got an unbelievable ability to draw a free kick. He understands space around him. He creates a tension that's not always there and puts defenders into real panic. So those two for me, you know, if you're looking for a wild card option for your Norm Smith, they could have a patch. They could have a 4-goal quarter. They have 3-goal quarter. And it just might be enough to say, you know what, they weren't best on ground. They didn't have the volume of possession or the accumulation of others, but they put the game to bed in a burst. I really can see Cozzy Pickett doing it. Wouldn't it be a fantastic story?
It would.
Pickett family are pretty competitive.
At the debate. I love this debate.
To tag or not to tag? And where do you start? I mean, you pick your poison a little bit, don't you? Everyone talks about Petrarca, you know, the number one score involvement player through the final series. He's averaged 12 score involvements per game. That's a massive number. You know, he's involved in, I think, 35% of their scores. It's a huge number. Viney and Oliver are the next two with 8 and 9 on average, but he's averaging a dozen. So do you need to have someone responsible for him? You know, Oliver, whose kicks inside 50, I'll just sort of track the kicks inside 50 because I think, you know, those players with a little bit of time, it all gets back to taking the game from inside to outside, and his ability to get on the outside at the moment's really affecting his kicking. He's 55% of his kicks inside 50 in the finals have created goals. That's up from 19% in the home and away.
Yep.
So that's 3 times his average through the home and away through the finals. So when you see what you see last week, him burst from stop, is that leg drive that we're talking about, it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference forward of that. So that separation that's only a metre or two on their opponents, it's only, you know, an angle here, an angle there, he's actually getting the ability to then use his – he's a very good kick, Clayton. He's getting time to capitalise. We know he's the number one contested possession player for the year in the competition. We already see that. But I'm not sure we're all seeing what he's doing exiting traffic. So Do you have to tag one of those two? Looking at the looking at score involvements for the Western Bulldogs through the final series, it goes McRae, Hunter, Smith, then Bontempelli, which I found interesting. So I know he's been banged up and did a great job to play last week, and we hope that he's full fitness this week. You know, but I look at McRae last two games, 75 disposals, 15 clearances, 18 inside 50s. Like, do you have to start looking at someone like him? Top three in the comp for contested possession for the year. Do you say, we're going to risk McRae? We're backing ourselves here. Do we have to go after Bontempelli? You know, only Petrarca's kicked the ball inside 50 more than Marcus Bontempelli this season. So do you try and sort of cut the head of the snake off? Do you go after the captain? Do you go, their main man? Do you try and peg him? Or do you just allow him to orchestrate what he does at stoppage, where he puts himself in a spot where the halfback ends up being his direct opponent? So I just wonder. He only had 20 disposals last week, and 10 of those were kicks inside 50. So at what point do you just become a nut? Let's just get that done. They've gone to Libba in the past. Harms has done that. He's the number one clearance player for the year. He's just a phenomenal player. In the end, I think you just come back to what can you live with?
Yeah.
As a coach, you get to the end of the game and the numbers will be the numbers, but what can you live with? What can you say, you know what, I probably knew that was going to happen and I didn't do anything about it, or nah, that's a shock. So McRae's had 40 and kicked three. Okay, that's an anomaly. Got me. Couldn't prepare for that one. But if Bontempelli has 12 inside 50s from 28 disposals, and you go, well, you know, I probably knew that coming in.
Yep. Don't get beaten by what you know.
Yeah. No easy answers, Jared. That's the beauty of coaching.
There shouldn't be by the time we get to a grand final. Paul Deere has been pointed out by a few. Beetle, he was surely over 190. No, he wasn't. He was 188 centimetres,
was
Paul
he?
Deere.
He
would have played centre-half forward. That's
a good
Hawthorne
question.
Correspondence putting through 188 centimetres, which gives you a bit of an idea of how the physical structure of the game has changed as well.
Maybe it's just we're just getting taller, Jared.
Kingy, the means test categories, the curiosity, and this centres on the coaching arm wrestle.
Yeah, so there's no surprises now, okay? You know what the opposition's likely to do because they've done that all year and it's been super successful. They're both in the grand final, so why would you give up on what you've done? So when we reviewed the Melbourne versus Port Adelaide game, a lot of the topics that separated the game were about these half forwards coming up to stoppage. So you're talking about Adam Treloar and Bailey Smith. So they'd come up and their opponents would hold back, some 5 metres, some 10 metres, sometimes 25 metres. But the damage that those two did taking the ball forward, because the Dogs come out by hand, they were able to hit the scoreboard. So have a track forward this week. So what again? Who wins the arm wrestle? So if the Dogs roll Smith and Treloar up to stoppage, and then Salem or Lever drops off the back of that and becomes the spare. Let's not bounce the ball just yet. Who wins this? Is it the extra at the stoppage? Sometimes it's one. Sometimes it's two. Sometimes they use wingmen. Sometimes they use half forwards. The Dogs, no two stoppages are the same. They're like fingerprints. That's what we said last week. So it's a different look every time. So no one's set. But the fundamental principle is they want to outnumber at the stoppage the Dogs and come out by hand, whereas the Ds are happy to sit back, hold their six defenders and say, good luck getting through us,
yep,
because we're the best defensive team you've seen in years. And it starts at the source and then it works back from there. So I can't tell you who's going to win that. We can't. That's the oil and water discussion that you like to have. But what I can tell you is that Bailey Smith has had huge numbers for a high half forward. So his structural role at some point has to have an influence on what Melbourne do with their setups. He's had 27 and 23 disposals the last 2 weeks, 9 and 6 inside 50s, 3 and 4 goals. So again, the don't get beaten by what you know discussion is a little bit hard here, because you don't want – so does Salem have to come up at the stoppage and mark Bailey Smith? And you go, well, that's not really how we sort of have looked for 26 weeks. Why are we doing that now? Is what we have set up not good enough to win the grand final? It's won everything else. So you can't go away from what you are, But there's a sort of a risk in that. So no one has the answers, but this is what Luke Beveridge does. This is the art of Beveridge's coaching, is that he makes your strength into a perceived weakness. Hey, guys, have that and we'll get our game. And we might have Marcus Bontempelli playing that half-forward flank position. So he'll roll around. People listening say, oh, you're going to go with Marcus Bontempelli. So if you go with Bontempelli, you've got a ball-winning midfielder that's probably going to win the clearance all alone inside the stoppage. So you're not going to do that. You're going to have your Bulls compete with the other Bulls. So this is where the intelligence of Bontempelli on field, and when you're watching it, you'll just see him pointing. Mm. You go here and he'll slide to a different position. And Beveridge will be sitting up saying, okay, now we've got what we want here. Don't quick kick it back to Salem or Lever or Petty or whoever's free. Don't quick kick it to them. We've got to run the ball at them. So this is, you know, the Dogs are not, they're not asleep at the wheel. They know that Lever's the number one interceptor in the game. And they know, in terms of creating scores, only Alir has created more scores from his turnovers than anyone. So you give Lever the ball and they're off and gone because it's a pure intercept. I think Salem's just inside the top 20 in the comp and he's not as damaging. It sounds silly, doesn't it? He's not as damaging. So when he wins it back, I think he's just outside. He's top 25 or so for making those intercepts a score because they've got to go a long way. I concede that. But I think they're more likely to leave Salem free than Lever. Don't snooze on Trent Rivers. He's had 13 intercepts through the finals. Quite a few of those have become scores. So there's players that can do things.
Yep.
But this is the coaching arm wrestle. You know, how do we keep what we want as a Demons behind the ball? You know, what does it look like at the stoppage? We're going to be outnumbered, sometimes by one, sometimes by two. Is that just too much to break the back of Petrarca, Harms, Gorn, Oliver? Is that too much? So these are the sorts of things they tinker with in game that we find very hard to pick up on the screen. But when you're looking at the screen, quickly look at who's free for the Dogs. Yeah, they've got an extra here.
Yep.
Hang on, it's Bontempelli. How is Bontempelli the one that's free? Because that's how he does what he does. His footy IQ is obviously through the roof.
The texts that roll through on a Monday probably amuse me more than any other day. I'll come back to them. I don't want to distract us from our Monday means test.
They're
a great set today. A great set. Kingy, we're filling in our categories. We would normally do they got that right, which in this instance becomes what they need to get right.
Well, just I want to get really specific with something, okay? And we're talking about the exit strategy of how these two teams take the ball out of traffic. And this is really, you know, we're getting right into the nitty-gritty of footy here. But if you look at the ability to take the game from inside to outside, that is everything. Because then you get speed on the game, you get defenders that are under panic immediately, whether it's going Melbourne's way or the Dogs' way, and they both do it differently.
Yep.
Okay, so just... I'm huge on this. The leg drive that Melbourne have bought, I think it's Adam Uze who's responsible for this. Now, Simon Goodwin's responsible for everything at the end. He ticks or crosses what they do. But Adam Uze's impact on Petrarca, Viney and Oliver in terms of saying, don't just accept that you've won clearance and dump the ball forward. You've got to step out, leg drive, get yourself into space. And we saw the centre bounce goal last week, Max Gorn kicked.
Yep.
On the run. That was all because Petrarca weaved his way out, draws the extra 4v4 on baller, probably the ruckman, gives it to Max. He's in clear air, runs to the top of 50, knocks it through. We're not expecting that to happen again. But that all happens because Petrarca takes that space. So that's the gap in the game. So when you're looking at that, it's a little bit to do with strike rate. So What do you get from your stoppages? Okay, so across the home and away season, if you look at strike rate, 82 points per 100 is the AFL average. Okay, Melbourne go at 88 points per 101 clearances. So a little bit better than the AFL average. They don't necessarily win a lot of clearances in terms of volume. They're pretty much break even. But through the finals, it's gone to 140 points per 101 clearances. So that's an improvement of almost 80%. So how does that happen? And I think when the game narrows and becomes more of a contested feature, that when you break your opponent, you actually get it on the scoreboard. You win two contests in a row or three contests in a row, and it's a score. So these guys, at Melbourne are doing things that challenge you in different ways. So if you, the Western Bulldogs play the contain game. So they know they're not going to win first possession because they haven't had a recognised ruckman all year. They don't set up to get pure clearance. They set up to defend from the moment that ball's bounced, whether it's a boundary throw-in or whatever it is. So they concede 50 points per 100 lost clearances. So when they lose it, they're there. They're there to put pressure on. They're there to put heat on. The Dogs. So last week, the Dogs only conceded one goal to Port Adelaide from stoppage. Yep. One goal. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about your method versus our method. Yeah. Okay, so they're returning serve, if you like. So if you look at the first possession stat, and this is I know something that that Luke Beveridge really tracks. Okay, so across the course of the year, in terms of that hit out to Bontempelli or to McRae or to Libba, they're plus five across the year for first possessions. Yet they're plus 147 clearances. clearly the AFL number one. The second best team is plus 40. So they're plus 147.
Yep.
100 clearances more on their direct opponent to the next ranked team, which was Geelong. So this is something they do unbelievably well. It's returning serve in tennis. They know their lot. Now, so the game within the game is can Petrarca, Oliver, Harms, Viney, can they step out? Can they get free? Can they make 1 metre become three? Can they get a handball to someone who's in clear air? Or will that defensive contain game for the Dogs strip the ball, and once they get the ball back off you, then it's almost it's in a panic state. So they get the luxuries then of two quick handballs, and they're off and gone, and they explode. They are gone, and generally they start with an outnumber there, as we've talked about. So they've got other people that can put pressure on. So you'll see those hands get in and just disrupt a handball chain or a slick handball or put a tackle on, create the error, if you like. So I just love what these two teams do in traffic, in congestion, at stoppage. So the exit game is something that I think will have a significant impact on the scoreboard.
Yeah, and that slips into what they can't afford to get wrong.
They can't
as well.
The Dogs can't afford. If you see Melbourne breaking from traffic, it is game over.
Yeah,
because anything pure in a final is priceless. It'll go on the scoreboard because both teams have got great talent forward of the ball, and they've got the ability to. You know, if Ben Brown is leading at speed, correct timing, everything in flow. And Petrarca and Oliver are running straight. Good luck defending that.
Yep.
So that's what we're talking about. Fritz the same. So, you know, that little battle there, the exit strategy will be just everything.
Robin's with us in Wheelers Hill. Robin, welcome to the means test.
Thank you. First time, long time.
Well done.
I actually go to the footy with Kaz from Essendon.
So nice.
That's who I am. I just want to pick King up on something you said earlier around Max Gawn being the reason Melbourne changed. I'm actually going to dispute that. He might be the reason we all love him now, absolutely, but Nathan Jones, Peter Jackson, Paul Ruse, they're the three. Okay, so you need to just understand that a lot of us are heartbroken about the way Jones has gone out. And yeah, Max is there, but it's Jones. Okay, so just please correct yourself on that.
That's beautifully, passionately said, Robin.
Yeah, love it, Robin. And you're probably right, but we're probably talking about the now. You're spot on. I love Nathan. We all love
last
Nathan.
Year's off-season to this year's pre-season and all that they preached very narrowly around the sense of team where there was the complete change of dialogue as opposed to Robin's talking about the broader cultural change.
100% agree. Yeah. 100% agree. And, you know, the origins of this flag are going to go back Not a week, 2 weeks, not a month, 2 months. They're going to go back 5, 6 years. They're going to go back to the first day that Paul Ruse walked in and settled, you know, calmed the farm, if you like. So it's a great call. I'm probably more specifically talking about this, you know, this build-up, this campaign and what Max has been. Max is a different captain to what they've had historically, Melbourne. There's no doubting that. I can tell your passion for Nathan, and I wish he was part of this campaign as well, but unfortunately, there's always a couple of hard luck stories in premierships.
The grand final record has just arrived in the studio, Kingy. 260 pages.
Wow.
Mick Lovett and his team have done a superb job now across two seasons keeping this going while in various parts of the country we haven't been able to go. Sometimes online, but this is the weighty tomb that you need for the week. So it goes into news agencies, into Coles, Coles Express, into Woolworths today. And of course, if you're lucky enough to be going to Optus Stadium on Saturday, you'll be able to grab it on the way in. But the AFL records is out for the grand final. Your last task on this means test is seedings, which we've had an inglorious record with seedings throughout the year. So there are no rules. You can do it in any way that you like, but you need to seed me four players.
Okay.
Central and critical to this year's grand final from four up.
So I'm looking at this as if I'm investing for a Norm Smith medalist.
Oh, that's a beautiful way
to go. So what you've got to keep in mind, Jared, is that at some point someone from the media or the coaching has to write a name down, a name they can live with and they can take feedback on. So for me, they stick to the marquee players, okay? So at four, I've gone with Max Gawn. He's the dominant force in terms of setting up the ruck strategy. We talked about that. He's something you can't stop. At number three, Marcus Bontempelli. I'd definitely be having something on him because if he lights it up, just the way he delivers the ball, the way he uses angles and space, that if he has a big day, the Dogs are a long way down the path to winning this one. At two, Christian Petrarca. I think that he's the style of player that separates games. A big burst of 10 minutes, 15 minutes, two goals, three goals. He will hit the scoreboard and will get somewhere between 20 and 30 disposals. That's just what he does. He's had a fantastic final series. And at one, and this is up for debate, I'm going to go with Bailey Smith because I just think the position that he plays, he will be afforded some luxuries in terms of, you know, that high half forward. He'll get unopposed opportunities at times because of the structure of the game, because Melbourne want to hold their back six. He'll be able to get damaging disposals. Now, whether he can kick straight a goal like he has done all final series and whether he can, you know, put the cherry on top like he's done the previous three finals is yet to be seen. But of all those guys, he's the one that has the potential to hit the scoreboard as a high half forward and still get 30 touches.
One, Bailey Smith. Two, Christian Petrarca. Three, Marcus Bontempelli. Four, Max Gawn. The Monday means test seeding. So next week, we're going to go quarter by quarter through the grand final. However it transpires, including votes for each quarter. Enjoy grand final week.
Hey, good luck to everyone supporting their teams. Dogs and D's, we don't care who wins.